look into your word. I pray that you would challenge us. Lord, maybe it's things that we haven't heard before. Maybe it's something we have heard before and just haven't figured it out or haven't heard it quite like this. But Lord, I pray that you would build in us your character, your spirit. And Lord, as we worship you and continue to worship you as we look into your word, we pray that you would just change us to be more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. For some reason, it was a scripture that popped into my head. 1477 in the Pew Bibles, 1477, Matthew 7. Now, chapter 7 of Matthew is at the tail end of what they call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, he goes up to the Mount of Olives and he stands there and he sees all the people and he begins to teach the disciples. Now, it says that the disciples came up to him and they sat around him and he starts teaching them. Not necessarily teaching the multitudes, but really focusing on the disciples and talking about what the kingdom of God is like, what it's all about, what it's like to live for God, live selflessly, and who is part of that kingdom, and what does God want or expect from us? And so Jesus taught that it's not just your actions, but it's your thoughts, and it's not about getting even, and we're on a journey. And don't worry about life here in this world, because God supplies. And so in chapter 7, as he continues with this journey and teaching the disciples all about what it is, he comes to this chapter, or you know, these next few verses 1 and on. I'm not going to get very far because this pretty much took up the whole time, the first six chapters or so. But along the way, on this journey that you're taking, you're going to meet a lot of different people. You're going to encounter people that just aren't right. You know? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. This doesn't seem like they got it all together, at least in your opinion. And that's what he is speaking about here. He says in verse 1, he says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now that we've heard a lot in this world. You know, today's society. And we've heard it a lot. I've talked to people and they go, you know, "Don't judge me, man." All right, I'm not judging you. I'm merely sharing truth. But you hear that over and over again about people because they don't want you to talk about their life or to try and put them in the same category or bring them into a realization of what they're doing, that they're doing something wrong. But we generally judge by our experiences, and so many times we judge a person by face value. And, you know, we've seen that. In fact, I'll tell this story, and I'm not going to use names because I don't know who's going to listen to this on the web, but I had a phone call, and this couple said, "Hey, you know, we'd like you to do this marriage for us." And I said, "Sure. Yeah, we have relatives up here, etc." And yeah, okay. And so I set up a meeting, and I was in the old house, you know, over on Park Street, and I was over there, and I didn't have an office in the church. We had the old church at the time, and so, you know, I'm thinking, cool, you know, it sounds like a great couple, and And then they came to the door and knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and I'm glad I kind of kept my cool, didn't have a shocked face or anything, because when I opened the door, it was like everything you could pierce was pierced, and anything that could have an earring or a ring or something in it was there, and tattoos up the necks and all this, and I'm not used to that. I don't have any tattoos, and I'm not used to, seeing that, and so it was a little shock, and I thought, well, come on in. We sat down. They were the nicest people, and I had just a perfect time with them, and counseling went so well. Believers, and how could I, when at face value, if I were any kind of a different person, I probably would have closed the door and said, I'm sorry, I can't. But that was a lesson to me, that many times, we look at people and we right away nail them. What you look like. How you talk. And Jesus is saying we shouldn't do that. Now, should we judge? Yeah, there is a point at which we do, and we'll get to that in a second. But in the military, we're given orders. Some of you that served in the military know what I'm talking about. You're given orders. I was given orders to do certain things, and other guys were given orders to do other things. And so one gets an order, you go over there and guard that. You guard this vehicle. You stand there and you guard this vehicle. Okay, so you're standing there. Another guy gets orders over here, not too far away from you, fill these sandbags. Okay, there's filling the sandbags. While he's looking over at me, or the guy who's guarding the vehicle, and saying, hey, come here, help me. You're just standing there, come over here and help me fill these sandbags. Nope, sorry. Well, you lazy bum. What's the matter with you? Get over here and help me. Sorry, I got different orders. You see, we have a tendency to want to judge people by what we ourselves are experiencing or doing. And so maybe God has given another individual a certain task to do, a certain gift in the Spirit. And yet, we look at them and want to judge right away. I had a guy in a church that, back in California when I was a youth leader there, and I always just had a, I don't know, I didn't hate him or anything. I just didn't like him. Because he was always such a, like, he wanted everything certain way. And I'm, hey, let's go out and to the restaurant, get some ice cream, and all the kids, yeah. And how many of us in youth work haven't done that? Let's just go to the restaurant, have some ice cream, dessert. We sit around, talk, and whatever. And he comes up to me. He says, you shouldn't do that. I'm going, why not? Well, there's insurance considerations and liabilities, and I'm going, really? I'm thinking of these kids, and you're thinking about insurance and liability. Later I learned that we all have different gifts. And his gift was administration. And so he was looking at things purely from an administrative view. Well, I was looking at things through I want to encourage these kids, I want to challenge them, I want to help them out, I want to, let's have fun, let's teach them about the Lord. And I'm not thinking about insurance and liabilities. But I should. And that's where he comes in. And so I realized that he had a task, he had a position by God as his gifts were shared, that he was all part of the body too. And I had to be careful that I didn't judge him. Now it says here, the latter part of that verse, it says, you will be judged. It says the same way, verse 2, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, what does that really mean? It means that whatever I use to judge a person, I will be judged by the same measure. So here's the illustration. It's you know, back in the day, they used scales to weigh out products, you know, like grain or fruit or whatever it might be. And they put the grain on one side and they put the weights on the other, and then they would charge accordingly. And so what Jesus is pointing out, he's saying, you know, some guys were using the scales illegally or not quite the way they should be used. You know, like they put their finger on one side or they throw a little sand in the bottom, and so there would be a different weight. You know, some of us know about that. You know, we cheat the scales sometimes. You know, we get up early in the morning, we don't drink anything, and then we weigh ourselves. Yeah. You know, I remember one time Jonathan got on the scale and I put my foot on the back of it. So he like was 200 pounds. And he was only, you know, Jonathan, he was only like 150 at the time. And that's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. He says the same way that you measure out, it'll be measured to you. So be careful. You don't use illegal scales. You don't use scales that you are tipping for your favor. You see, it's not that we shouldn't judge, because it says by the same standard we'll be judged. The same measure we'll be judged. So you know what? We're going to be judged by this. By the Word of God. So if we judge anybody, if we say anything to anybody, we should use this. Not my opinion. You know, because I have lots of opinions. You know, you have certain ways of doing things, jobs, and certain things that you do. And I remember talking, I think it was with Jay at the one time, and he says, you know, you got to be careful not to micromanage. Because you can stand over somebody and say, you know, that's not the way I would do that. I would do it this way. And so I want you to do it this way. Well, maybe the way they're doing it is just as good, maybe better than what you did it. But you just want to get your hands in there and judge the way they're doing their job. You see, then he gets into this next part, verse 3. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? You can say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye. You hypocrite, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Again, not that we don't judge, but that we be careful that we watch what we have in our own eyes. Because I walk up to somebody and I'm going, yeah, you know, you're really stepping out of line there. When all the time, I'm doing the same thing or worse. I need to take care of my own life. And you know, that's going to take a little time, because that's why Jesus uses the illustration of a plank or a log and the speck. He's saying the speck's in your brother's eye or sister's eye, and the log is in yours. And so he's saying, you know, you've got a lot more to attend to than your brother or sister. So pay attention to yourself. Now again, not that we don't attend to that other person, but we're all the time aware that I don't have the right to get on their case about anything, only to share this. I can share this and say, you know, I'm not any better at this than you are. But when I read this, it says this. And you know, let's pray about it. Let's work together. Let's help each other. Scripture in Hebrews, it says, iron sharpens iron. You know, we should be to one another helpers and encouragers. The standard that God has set before us is His Word. Now, you know, he says this, I know you're reading ahead, and you probably read this already, verse 6. Don't give dogs what is sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. What in the world, Lord? What'd you throw that one in there for? You know, how in the world does that make any sense? Well, you know, dogs, when you think of the time period, dogs and pigs were not very good. They were unclean animals, for one. And dogs were wild and uncontrolled. They're not like little, Don Urban, he has a dog, Charlie, little lap dog, you know. And keepers, they got a couple little dogs, you know, they jump in your lap and, you know, they bark at you, snarl at you, and you kind of go, really? I mean, you could maybe get your mouth around my little finger, you know. I mean, they're little dogs. Now, our dog, it's a different story. But they weren't pets back then. They weren't pets. They ran along the streets. They were wild. And people, yeah, they threw stuff out their windows, their trash and whatever, and the dogs would eat it up, keep things clean. Dogs were usually in the garbage heap where they would throw things. And so dogs weren't the you know, good. And pigs, the same thing. They were an unclean animal. Jews didn't want anything to do with them. They couldn't eat them and they couldn't even touch them. But here they're saying sacred things. It says, you know, don't give dogs what is sacred. Don't give something that's very sacred to dogs. And don't give pearls, or, you know, pearls were very valuable back in those days. And don't give pearls to swine, to pigs. Because they're not going to eat it. They're going to look at it and trample it under their feet because they want real food. And dogs, they don't care about what's sacred. So now what does this all mean? Who are the dogs and who are the pigs? You know? Well, that's where we're judging. That's where judging comes in. And we take the Word of God and we say, you know, Lord, is this somewhere I need to go? And He answers that question, you know, when you get to chapter 10 in Matthew. And I want you to go there, 1483, if you close the Bible. 1483, Matthew chapter 10, and starts in verse 11. And Jesus gave them instructions. And He tells them to go out and preach the gospel. Tell them about the kingdom of God. And so in verse 11, He says, whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house. Oh, we're judging again. We're finding somebody that has a home and that will allow us to come in. A worthy person. A person who is desiring to know the truth. So then it says in verse 12, as you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. Sounds like we're evaluating this home. Look at what it says next. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth. It will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Wow. Doesn't sound like we're supposed to be pushovers or doormats or people who are just, you know, oh, you know, beat me up and that's okay, I don't mind. It says here that we should go in and evaluate the situation. If we're welcomed, then all right, preach the gospel, teach. But if we're not welcome, don't force yourself. You know, Jesus didn't expect us to beg people into the kingdom of God. Witness? Absolutely. Teach? Yes. Pray for? Of course. But if someone rejects God's word, we move on and let God deal with them. It's not our business. We're not in this world. We're witnesses for the Lord, absolutely. And we have the gospel within us, and we go and we teach and we share. But if someone says, hey, get out of my face. I've told this story before. I was working at a machine shop before this was before Pastor. BP, is that what before Pastor. I was working as a machinist in a shop, and I had a guy come over to me. I would read the Bible at lunchtime, and he'd come over and he would spit on the ground and he would ridicule me for reading the Bible. Telling me, why don't you wear sandals? Why don't you be like Jesus? Things like that. Not horrible, terrible. I can't tell you the cuss words, but the thing was is that here he was, he wasn't even, and I would pray for him. And I would even say, God still loves you. He didn't want to hear it. Okay. I'm not going over to your part of the shop to still continue to preach at you. I've had people like that when I lived in California, went on the beach at your own risk. And there were, and it wasn't just because of a crime. It was because there was Jesus people out there. And I'm saying this not meanly, because, to their credit, they were trying to witness for the Lord. But to their discredit, or whatever that would be, they would try to force it on you. And they were chasing people away more than they were bringing people in. And here I was, I believe in the Lord, and we're walking on the beach, and these guys were pulling the Bible up, chasing us down the beach. Believe in Jesus as their Savior. And I said, I do. And I'm running for my life. If you stopped, you were in deep trouble. And that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to witness about Him. And He wants us to share the gospel from love. But if anybody rejects it, keep them on your prayer list, but walk the other direction. Find somebody who does want to hear it. There are plenty of people who do. We're not to twist arms or drag people into church. I've had it already too. Being here for as many years as I've been, I've seen people come and go out of the church. I hate to see them go, and I pray for them. But the problem that is before us is, why are they coming in the first place? Is it because they feel an obligation? Or do they love the Lord Jesus with all their heart? Because if you love the Lord with all your heart, you want to serve Him. You want to be here. You want to know about Him. You want to raise up your voice and sing the songs and visit and fellowship with other believers. You want to do that. But if you don't, really, and you're only here because, we have donuts and coffee and we have, we have a lot of fun and I tell some funny stories and things like that. If that's what you're here for, see, then it doesn't work well. Because then if I don't tell a good joke, then, it's like, man, that was bad. I didn't get anything out of it today. And that's why when we go home from here, we should still read the Bible. Don't just close it up, go home, and you throw it on the counter till next week. That's not what Jesus wants from us. And we see that in chapter 7 when you keep on going through it. I'm not going to do it because we don't have time. But when you keep on going through it, you find out, there's a narrow road. And there's not very many people that walk that narrow road. I was talking to Ron the other day, and we were talking about Pilgrim's Progress. Remember that story? Some of you read it. Classic. And Pilgrim had this big weight on his back. He's walking the narrow road. But there were some roads that went off the side, and they looked pretty good. And he, once in a while, would walk those side roads and get himself in all kinds of trouble. until he got back on the narrow road. When he got to the cross, the weight on his shoulders dropped off because he finally found peace in Christ. We have all kinds of distractions in this world trying to draw us off. We need to resist those things. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ because He is the one that's going to get us through it. And there's going to meet a lot of people in our journey. And some of those people we're going to look at and go, oh my goodness. But we need to pray and look inwardly and seek to help those people, to seek to love those people and draw them closer to Christ and get them to a place where they will come to church on their own, where they will see the value of knowing Christ, and they will give their life completely to Him. But that's a process. And that's something that we can't hurry it up. It's in God's hands. But we need to be there to keep encouraging them, you know, because we're to disciple other people. Share the gospel and then teach them. Have Bible study with them, one-on-one, if it takes that. Or invite them to come to the Bible study and learn more. Because as they grow, they'll become stronger in their faith. I'd like us to take a moment and bow our heads in prayer before we close with this last song. Father, I just come before You and thank You for salvation. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for teaching us. Thank You for building in us Your character. And yet, Lord, there are so many here probably that they're having a struggle with that. Maybe they're just not knowing exactly what to do. And I pray that You would use us here to help. Use us to encourage, to challenge, to build up one another in the faith. And Lord, as we do that maturity level grows and people become stronger. Lord, if there's somebody here that hasn't even taken that step of faith, I pray that they would just pray right now, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of wandering through this world, taking so many side roads and not knowing where I'm going. I'm tired of it. I need focus. I need to know where I'm going. Lord, I pray that You come into my life. Save me from myself. Make me a new creature, I pray. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We ask now that You would bless the rest of the service as we sing this last song, Lord, and that this song would be a motto, a goal, a thing in our lives that is constant. And Lord, that people definitely will see that we believe in You as our Savior. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.